Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a great blessing it is. Again, just being able to come to the place of refuge, our church, and be ministered to through congregational singing as well as the special music. And praise the Lord for the technology. Was able to bring the choir into the services today, and we'll be doing that on every service, is being allowing you to hear a choir special, and that takes us back to where we want to be, and having the choir singing once again. So what a blessing that is. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, I believe this would be God's message for us today. This is a text that I love, and God's allowed me to preach from this text several times. And every time he directs me to it, it's just a tremendous blessing. But I believe it's exactly what we have need of today. I don't think it's ever been as needed as it is today in our church and in our nation. Isaiah was God's prophet to a rebellious Israel who was so far away from God that God was about to take them into captivity. And Isaiah chapter 6, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be starting to read with verse 1. We'll read down to verse 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you again. We love you. Again, we thank you for just how you work in our lives. In the midst of trials, the mountaintop experiences, every day, thank you for your presence. And I pray now, God, that we, as we have assembled to worship you today, that we would sense your presence in this place, and that we would be able to have that ear to hear exactly what you have for each one of us. I pray, God, that you would continue to work in our midst. I pray, God, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message once again to your people from your word. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Israel was about to face the judgments of God and be taken into captivity, because they had hardened their hearts and blinded themselves, their eyes to God and their ears. They plugged their ears and stopped listening, and they had turned to their own ways and turned away from God. And God had warned them if they would do this, what would take place. And so their only hope would be God's representative, the prophet Isaiah. God would give them last opportunities before he would bring the judgment, because God would much rather bless us than to have to judge us. And we find that he sends the prophet Isaiah. But before he can send the prophet Isaiah, he would have to work in Isaiah's life. The message I want to preach to you this morning is, how would Isaiah get from verse 5, "Then sighed I, woe is me," to verse 8, when Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." You see, "Here am I, send me" is where we all need to be. I can picture Isaiah being very energetic. I can picture Isaiah being very excited. I can picture Isaiah being very positive, and more than anything else, committed to God. When he's getting God's attention and saying, "Here am I, I'm ready, send me to represent you." Today, I believe that too many believers and too many churches even are where Isaiah was in verse 5, with this mindset and this thought life of, "Woe is me." Sometimes we have a mindset of doom and gloom. Sometimes we have a mindset of being defeated. Sometimes we have a mindset of being powerless. And usually that takes place because you're not close to God. Usually that's happening because the old devil has blinded you to who God is and what God can do for you. But too many of us are there right now. And we're living in fear. A born-again believer should never live in fear. The world would love to keep you living in fear. The devil working through the world would love to get you to be defeated by fears. And yet God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. We must not lose sight of that. We are living in fear. It's not of God. Now, I think we need to use wisdom every day of our lives, and we need to pray for wisdom every day of our lives. We need to seek the direction and the will of God every day of our lives. But I believe that every day of our lives, we can be more of the way that Isaiah was when he says, "Here am I." There's a great task ahead, and I understand what it is. I understand what needs to be done. But I'm here, and I am ready and willing to represent you. Instead of being on the other side of that is, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." You see the negatives, and you see the sin running rampant, and you see your own sin. Well, we find here the first of all, so how did Isaiah get there? How did Isaiah get from verse 5 to verse 8? God has recorded it for us. I think it's something that we can all be helped by and benefited by. So the first thing we find here that God has recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 6 is God allows Isaiah to see him. Now, if you're lost, it's going to bring conviction. If you're lost, it's going to make you see yourself for who you are. We'll get into that in just a minute, as a sinner. And as a sinner, knowing that God is alive, as a sinner and looking at my lifestyle and seeing the holiness of God, it's going to bring you to this place of woe is me. Because we have to acknowledge sin before we can ever get the forgiveness of sin and get to the place where God can work in us to work through us. But God has allowed Isaiah to see him. Verse 1, he says, "In the year of King Uzziah died," and of course the connection with history and all that, we won't get into that. But what I want you to see is what he says, I saw also the Lord. When things were really bad in Israel, when things were bad in what I looked around, I seen my sin and I seen the sins of the world, and I realized what kind of condition we were in. All this was going on. He says, yes, I seen all this, but I saw the Lord. And I want to ask, I ask myself, do I see God? In the midst of what's taking place in my life, in the midst of what's taking place in our church, in the midst of what's taking place in our world, can I see God? I guarantee you, he's still on the throne, but whether you see him on the throne is a different set of circumstances. Do you see God? I'm just asking. I mean, only you know. This is something you have to answer for yourself. But Isaiah said, when I was aware of everything else going on, I saw the Lord. Do you see God? Does the church see God? Collectively, as a Lighthouse Baptist Church, do we see God? Does our nation see God? If we see God, it will come out in how we respond, how we live, how we think. What have I done lately that reveals a belief in God? If you're living in fear, listen to me, that's not a sign that you see God. If you're living in a doom and gloom and no hope and a life of anxiety, you're not seeing God. What happens when we first see God? We get saved. We come to that place. I was 8 years old when I seen God. And I realized that God was real. I realized that Jesus Christ was real. I also, in knowing that God is real and Jesus is real, heaven is real and hell is real. Because I saw God, all these things started coming together in my heart and my mind and my life. And when I saw God and I realized the reality of heaven and hell and the reality of life and the reality of death, and I, in my own heart, after I saw God, I said, I want God as my Savior. It revealed a belief in me to call upon the name of the Lord so that I could get saved. If you've never seen God, then you've never been saved. You're not born saved. You're born as Isaiah was, with a sin nature, which will lead to doom and gloom. But when you see God, automatically, the first thing that we do in response to seeing God, acknowledging God, is realizing that he has given me an understanding that I need him. I get saved. Once I get saved, what do I do to acknowledge I've seen God and receive God? I get baptized. That's just something that we do, because now, as I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I want to publicly identify with him. I don't care who is watching. I want the whole world to see, because I am going to publicly identify my life with Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And when I come up out of the water of baptism, I have identified with Jesus Christ, and I'm now ready to go out and live the Christian life as he would have me to live the Christian life. Why? Because I saw God. I know he's real. I put my faith and trust in him. I've identified with him. So now that I'm saved and baptized, what's an automatic thing to do? I start going to church with a different mindset than what I did maybe when I really went to church without seeing God. You know, a lot of young people attend church without ever seeing God. They attend church because dad's got a hold of their ear. Well, I was forced to go to church, and that's why I'm not in church. That's a lie from the devil. I guarantee most people that are saved here today would say, I was forced to go to church. And because I was forced to go to church, I heard the word of God. I was exposed to the things of God, which got me to the place of whether or not I believe in God. And once I believed in God, because I was in church, I knew what I needed to do. And now you're in church, raising your children in church. Because you believe and you've seen God. Now that I'm in church, what do I do that reveals that I see God? I confess sin. Because even though I was forgiven of my sin nature, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. And when I come to church and I hear the word of God presented and I have the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and I see God in light of my sin, then I have to get rid of that sin. And the way to get rid of that sin is I confess my sin. And I just have a desire when I leave church to apply the words of God and live as God would have me to live. That's just how God has designed it. And that's how seeing God will work in our lives. And when I'm in church, after I've confessed sin, then I know I can have great conversations through prayer with God. I remember being a rebellious teenager and I was running from God, and yet some things happened in my life and I needed God, and I was trying to pray, and I realized I can't pray because I know I have sin in my life. And I had to come to that place laying on my bed, looking up at my ceiling and realizing I need God, but I've got sin in my life. What do I need? What do I want more? The sin or being able to have a relationship and a communication with God? I remember as a young teenager, I chose God, confessed my sin, and was able to have a conversation in prayer with my God. Because that's what we do. Because God's real. When I see God, I'll do these things. When I'm blinded to seeing Him, I'll stop, much like Israel. See, what happened to Israel? They stopped seeing God. They started seeing other small letter G gods, and they started bringing all their gods and all their lifestyles and all their ways of life into Israel. Because they stopped seeing God, then they started living opposite the will of God for their lives. And God is a very jealous God. And God is a very holy God. And God already told them, if you do these things, this is what will happen. And that's what was happening. Because they stopped seeing God as the only true God, as their God. Can I tell you, that's what's happened to America today? I believe it's happened to churches today, and I believe it's, even break it down, it's happened to individual believers today. It's not that you're lost, it's that you're blinded to seeing God. America needs to see God again. See, because when America saw God, they did things that revealed that they saw God. Like establishing the laws of the land according to God's word. And we know they did that because the Ten Commandments was posted in government offices and even placed in schools all across the United States of America. Now, why did America do that? Why did we establish laws based on the Bible? And why did we put up in our government offices? And why did we put in our schools for our children to read and to study and to look to and to acknowledge the fact that God is real? That's why we did it. Because we saw God. Do you understand that there was something called an blue laws established in America? The blue laws, and mainly they were in honor Sundays because of the churches, because of the faith of the people, the belief of the people. And one of the main blue laws that was established was to prohibit the sale of alcohol. What did that come out of? Why would America establish these blue laws? Because America at one point saw God. And they understood the need of the people in responding to being able to see God. You know, they also had these same blue laws in Canada, Germany, Switzerland. It wasn't just the United States of America. In 1864, during the Civil War, is when the North placed, for the first time, "In God We Trust" on coins. On U.S. coins. That's history. If we're not careful, we're allowing history to be taken away from us. And history reveals that the United States of America was a nation established in a belief in a God. And because we believed in God, then we revealed our belief in God by doing these same things, just like we revealed our belief in God when we got saved. We revealed our belief in God when we got baptized. We revealed our belief in God and our ability to see God when we joined the church and we started serving God and all these different things. These are things that reveal to ourselves that we see God. In 1908, Congress, and our Congress has, over the history, done some good things in the past. In 1908, Congress mandated that "In God We Trust" be imprinted on all coins. 1908. Which led to, in 1956, Congress mandated it'd be printed on all paper currency. Now, why would they do that? Could it be because they saw God? They needed to see God during the Civil War because we were being torn apart. They need to see God in 1908. They need to see God in 1956. Since then, sad to say, America has done very little to reveal a belief in God. As a nation, we went back and tried to change everything that we have done as a nation that reveals that we see God. taking down the Ten Commandments, taking prayer and the commandments out of schools. Legalizing abortion. I could go on and on and on. Since the mid-1900s till today. You look back in history and you've seen what we did when we saw God, and now we've seen what we have done by not seeing God. Yeah. Isaiah saw God. In seeing God, then God allowed Isaiah to see himself as someone in need of God. Amen. Verse 5, Isaiah chapter 6, then said I, woe is me, because I realize I have a need of God. I see God and I see myself in what kind of condition I'm in. And I look at my fellow brethren and I see my nation, and I realize they're in the very same condition and they need God. And he says, woe is me because of where I'm at. We are not worthy of God. I can't see, and once I see God, why would God send his son for me? Undeserving. And yet he sent him for me. When we lose sight of God, we will build up humanity. We'll do that individually. You'll think that your ways are better than what God's ways are. You'll pick and choose how you want to live your life based on your own interpretation of God and life. And as a nation, when we lose sight of God, we'll build up humanity. Now, let me read to you. I don't have much more here, but it's powerful stuff. I want you to get it. Romans in chapter 1, and these are verses you know well, but in light of what we're looking at this morning, when we lose sight of God, we'll build up humanity. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, because they turned away from God. Wherefore God also gave them up, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature, which is humanity, more than the Creator, who is the one that is blessed forever. Wow. So Isaiah, once he saw God, he would need to see the truth about himself and his generation. You look around our generation, we look around our world, our nation, we need to see it. Yeah. Because we're in it. In light of God's glory, verse 3, as he saw God in his glory, and the seraphim saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He saw that when he saw God. And then he looked at himself and his nation. You see, we're all sinners by nature and are accountable to God. If you don't see God and then look at yourself to realize that we are his creation And because we are his creation, we are accountable to the Creator. Yeah, you're blinded. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 14, let me just read this to you as well, but Romans 14, write it down, verse 11 and 12. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every knee, that means all humanity, whether you have received Jesus Christ or not, all humanity will be accountable to God. As I live, saith the Lord, if I live, if you see God, you know he's alive, you know he's real. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We all will give an account to God. So, from woe is me to here am I, send thee. Send me. We need to see God and see ourselves and our generation in view of God. And then the last thing, need to experience God's forgiveness. And with forgiveness, opportunities to represent him. Because in verse 6, Isaiah chapter 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had been taken with the tongs from off the altar. The altar of sacrifice, which Jesus came and placed himself, when he put himself on the cross, he put himself on the altar of sacrifice. He became that sacrificial lamb. He shed his blood so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. And thy sins purged. God's forgiveness brings to me an opportunity to serve him. God's forgiveness reveals to me not only is there a God, but there is a God who loves me. And he sees me for who I am and what I have need of. And he paid sin's debt so that I might not have to do that. He paid sin's debt that I might be set free from sin. Which leads us to a wow moment. Because he now has acknowledge the fact that this God who is holy, holy, holy loves him despite his sin and actually forgives him of his sins. And then he hears him say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will represent the kingdom of heaven? Who will represent the glory of God? Who would represent the holiness of God? And Isaiah hears it. And it becomes a wow moment. A wow moment is when you realize that God is seeking those who desire to serve him. And what Isaiah does is he presented himself. Knowing that God is seeking those to worship him. Knowing that God is seeking those to represent him. Knowing that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Once you receive him and you realize that you have been born again, you realize that your sin has been washed away and that God is looking for those who would represent him. And now I can represent him. I have the opportunity. And it's an opportunity.
I go from woe is me to here am I. Isn't that good? I love that. Present yourself. We need to present ourselves to God. Here am I. I remember in school, the teachers would have questions and answers and see who could give the answers. And when you thought, but you weren't sure of the answer, and you raised your hand if you got the answer, you know, I'm not sure. When you knew you had the answer, hey, right here. That's how I see Isaiah. And he realized that God is looking for somebody to represent him. And Isaiah says, if I can do it, if you want me to do it, if I'm allowed, I want it. Here am I. Notice me. Quite an opposite mentality than woe is me. But I get here because I've seen God. I've seen myself. And then I realize that after I know who God is, that he loves me. And now he is offering me an opportunity to represent him. Here am I. And not only here am I, but send me. Yeah. It's a choice of a free will, because I now know that's what Israel needs. I want to be the one to tell them. I want to represent you. Send me to my family. Your family needs you to represent God to them. Send me to my coworkers. Send me to my schoolmates. Send me to my friends, because listen to me, your friends need you to represent God to them. There are so many questions going on in society today. There are so many different hot issues going on all around us. And what the world needs is those who believe in God, who see God and wants to respond according to God's word. Send me. Send me to my world. Because the whole world needs to see God. The solutions to all the world's problems is for the whole world to see the same God. That will happen on earth one day. But until then, we are here to tell as many that'll listen. I desire to represent God and to be a voice for the Lord. I trust you do as well. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. That's how Isaiah got from woe is me to here am I. Send me. Difference. A huge difference in how we live life, how we see things. Let's get there. Let's look to be noticed by God so that we might go and represent him. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord God. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray right now, God, as we have presented your message, I pray that you would take it and apply it to each and every one that's heard it in this auditorium, in the gymnasium, and at home through via live stream. I pray that each one right now would just be under the conviction of your Holy Spirit and the direction and the leadership of an almighty God. Help each one of us to make commitments and decisions that need to be made. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.